The BS Report with Bill Simmons. Bill Simmons is brought to you by Lamisil AT Gel. It's proven to relieve the burn of athlete's foot between the toes. Once a day, 1 week, and you're done.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. You must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
All right, welcome back to the BS Report. Sorry we've been away for the last couple weeks, but we have rectified all of our technical problems, and we will be coming back maybe 2-3 times a week now. Haven't decided yet. We have a new ISDN line in my house, which makes it a lot easier to do these podcasts, and especially to call my friends at work, which is really the only reason why I have this podcast. I love bothering my friends at work. But we have a lot of good stuff planned, especially for this month. Hopefully, Jason Whitlock coming on to talk about The Wire this week. We're going to have Rick Bucher on, I think, either this week or early next week to argue about really everything. Bucher, for some reason, thinks that he's more of an authority in the NBA than me, but he doesn't actually watch games. Like, if you follow Bucher's schedule, he just flies from city to city and does sideline reporting and does studio in Bristol, and he's in Denver, and he's in Houston, and I want to know how many hours he actually spends watching these games. So we're going to argue about that because I just think he should defer to me as the NBA expert for the worldwide leader. Either me or Mark Stein, one of us. So we're going to have him. We're going to have Adam Carolla is going to come on before, either his career defining or his career ending Dancing with the Stars appearance that starts on March 17th. I'm not sure. Career defining, career ending. Really up in the air. We're going to have Joe Sheehan from the Baseball Prospectus. He's going to do a spring training thing with us. And we're going to have Matt Barry, our fantasy guy, our head fantasy guy, talking about, fantasy sleepers and a whole bunch of stuff. And we're going to argue and we're going to yell at each other. It'll be good. So that's really all I can think of for this month other than, I'd love to have David Stern on to discuss this whole Seattle thing. We'll see. He might be mad at me after we ran all those emails last week. But I would love to talk about the Sonic situation with him because I really think it's one of the more depressing situations that we've had, not just in the NBA, but in every sport. So hopefully he'll get a chance to tell us his side and why he really doesn't seem to care that the team's leaving. I don't get it. It's really uncharacteristic of him. So we'll find out his side from that. But right now, we're going to kick things off by calling my friend Jacko at work for America's favorite running segment. Johnny, are you worried yet? Let's give him a ring.
Complex Litigation, this is John.
Johnny.
Hey, what's up, Willie?
New title.
That's impressive, isn't it?
I think you made that up because you thought we might be calling today.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. It was either that or male model. I wasn't sure which way to go.
You're really saying Best Buy customer service. This is John, but you changed it.
Burger King, home of the Whopper. That's right. That was my other option.
Well, the BS Report is back after a four-week hiatus. We solved all of our ISDN problems. I'm as healthy as I've been in a month.
Good to hear.
Which is great. I was really worried. I was starting to look like, remember the Philadelphia scene when Tom Hanks comes out of Denzel Washington's office?
Yes.
And the Bruce Springsteen song comes on?
Yes.
That was me for about 3 weeks.
Really?
I was bruised and battered, but
you were not in rehab with Lindsay Lohan and/or Britney Spears then.
No,
it was an illness. That's the story we're going with.
No.
Okay. All right.
How was that? Well, we haven't talked to you in a while, Johnny.
No, it has been a while.
And now we're in the range where I think you're on every week until through the World Series.
Wow, fantastic.
Which will make all 220 of your fans, I think, really excited.
Absolutely. Yeah. A good 7 months of me. That'll be exciting stuff.
It'll be good. Well, I think we can all agree that after the New York Giants Super Bowl victory, that the New York Boston rivalry has been pushed to new heights.
You know, and I have a theory that really Eli Manning, whatever that catch is being called when he escaped from the grasp, and David Tyree's helmet catch really turned the fortunes of of both cities around, I think, really, if you look at things.
You think so?
I think so. I mean, you know, since then you've had some defections from the Patriots. Obviously, they didn't get the 19-0 season. You had Johan Santana go to New York. Granted, not to the Yankees, but still to the city of New York. This
right.
is in keeping with my theory, which is kind of a stretch.
Well, that, yeah, that actually happened before the Super Bowl, but keep going.
Was it before the Super Bowl?
Yeah, that's all right, though. I like the theory anyway. Keep going.
That hurts, then. You know, Hank Steinbrenner has risen to the occasion, thrown down the gauntlet. You know, a lot of things just sort of have happened ephemerally, you know, out in the ether that it could be some foreboding down the line, you know.
Can you really say Hank's thrown down the gauntlet, though? Like, I feel like it's like when Gary Busey throws down the gauntlet. Like, people are just confused.
Well, see, I liked Hank's comments. I mean, you know, it's just all bluster and pounding his chest. But the really ridiculous ones were Hal Steinbrenner and GQ when he's like, well, the Red Sox might have won the World Series, but they didn't want to play us in the ALCS. I mean, give me a freaking break. They've won two of the last four World Series, and
right.
now all we have to rest our laurels on is, well, they didn't want to play us in October. Come on.
Yeah, that sounds like something our old college roommate Brendan would have come up with.
That's exactly what I thought of. That's right.
Yeah, it's one of his old rational, like when I'd be beating him at Tecmo Bowl 42-0. And
right.
But I scored the last touchdown.
Right. Or he actually, it was even worse than that. He would claim that he once had you at 3rd and 14. So you converted. But the fact that he had put you in the situation of being 3rd and 14 was enough.
Right.
So.
Now, I have some questions for you about Hank.
All right.
Because I read that Play Magazine piece. Obviously, I loved it. I linked to it today in the weekly links. Hank's 50. Where has he been? Where was he from years 1 through 49? Where was he? What was he doing? Was he, like, locked in a box? Like, where was he? What was his job? Like, what are his qualifications to suddenly run the Yankees?
I'd like to claim that he was in the mountains of Tibet at a Buddhist monastery gaining wisdom about insight into baseball and the operations of the team, but I don't think that was the case.
Right.
Allegedly, he was, I don't even know this, but I think one or both sons were involved in the Steinbrenner shipping industry. That he was in charge of building ships, and that neither one of them was ever going to be involved in baseball. It was supposed to be his son-in-law. Like, I don't understand, like, if your father owned the Yankees, wouldn't you be, like, in the mix from the time you were old enough to walk, you know? Wouldn't you be involved and wanting to be around and, you know, hanging out?
Well, I love the, I don't know if you read the ESPN The Magazine feature, which coincidentally also ran this week. Hank is available to do interviews.
Yes, he is.
But he was talking about when he was, like, in the 70s and 80s, and his dad would make these rash, irrational moves, like when he traded Lamar Hoyt.
And, right.
But Hank knew that Lamar Hoyt's minor league statistics were really good.
Yeah.
So he'd be like, Dad, what are you doing? And he kind of like threw his dad under the bus, like his dad's dying. And I it was just kind of awful. Like, do you really need to throw your dad under the bus to justify why you have the job,
because he understands sabermetrics. Especially when your dad's like out of it, he can't even read the paper or like respond, you know?
Yeah, it was just kind of weird.
Well, that actually jogs my memory now, because there was that story in the New York Post a while ago about Hank telling all these like stories about drinking with Billy Martin in the 70s and how much he loved Billy Martin.
Yeah.
So what would he just like fly in and like hang out with Billy Martin for stretches and then go back to Cleveland or build ships or whatever? Maybe he did gain some baseball knowledge just from late nights drinking with Billy Martin.
I was in the links today. I had the analogy that it was like when Raymond Babbitt was released from Walbrook. Nobody knew he was existed, but he'd been there all along. That was Hank. But the more I'm thinking about it, I do think there are some Tommy Boy similarities.
Well, that was referenced in my own Hartford Current today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Somebody said that it was like that he may be Chris Farley and Tommy Boy. Yeah.
Well, I wonder if like Hank took over and it was like when Tommy Boy took over the company after his dad died, where all the other people that worked for the company are like, what?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
You think he was like Chris Farley? He's got like he's got the refrigerator filled with beer in his office, and he's like going on the road trip with David Spade. Does Brian Cashman play the David Spade role then?
I think he does.
Kind of fitting. Yeah.
I think he does. What he needs to do is grow his hair out and have like the weird, ridiculous comb over. But they actually have the same body type.
That's a good point. Luckily it had a happy ending, Tommy Boy. Maybe the Yankees will too. You know, they'll sort of stumble their way into a World Series championship.
Well, it makes me mad.
Just like Tommy Boy sold the brake pads or whatever the premise of that film was.
Well, what makes me mad is that you have all these guys in your team lined up to have these contract years.
Yes, the Giambino, Abreu. Yeah,
Giambino, Abreu, who we talked about this last week in private, but I always love when the guy, right before the contract year, he does the thing where he's like, oh, yeah, I'm in great shape. You know, if I made a mistake last year, I didn't really come in great shape last year, but I'm in great shape this year. It's like, well, why weren't you in good shape last year?
Right. We were only paying you $20 million, $15 million a year last year. You know, God forbid you ran on a treadmill once in the off season. You know, you wouldn't want to do that.
Somebody needs to create a website or a blog where it just lists all the incidences of guys going into their contract year talking about what great shape they're in. Because it's a limitless list.
It really is. It would take too long.
And I'm sure he's going to hit probably 330. He'll have like a 470 on base percentage, and he'll be like 40 for 45 on steals.
Let's hope so. Yeah, he's going to steal more bases this year. No, who's going to do that? Melky Cabrera is going to steal more bases this year. I was reading that, yeah. And, you know, Joe Girardi's put in this, like, you know, regiment of a drill sergeant down in spring training. You know, every article every day is about Yankees working out and, you know, exercising. And
Yankees exercising.
Yeah.
Yankees. Joe Torre's spring training was basically the guys put pepper.
And then they'd get together for, like, a big pasta meal or something at the end of the day, cooked by Mrs. Torre. Like, I don't know what went on there, but apparently there was no working out of any kind.
They kind of threw him under the bus a little bit.
Oh, God, everybody did, repeatedly, all over the place. Even Jeter or somebody came out and was like, you know, I don't think we were really prepared leaving spring training last year. Not good. That's why they fell apart at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a little worried.
The other thing, I just thought back to my earlier thing about the Super Bowl. Shortly after that, you had the Kevin Garnett abdominal injury. You know, and then you had the pictures of Josh Beckett that came out on the internet that made it look like he weighed about 300 pounds. So all these things I was hanging my hat on that, you know, New York had finally turned the corner and the universe is going to be righted. But, you know, this call could just be speculation. But think back to this. You'll play this back in October. I've called this now after the Super Bowl. So,
well, let me tell you something. As somebody who lived through the Clemens era when he started packing on the pounds, you never want to hear your best pitcher say that he's going to pitch himself into shape. It's spring training. It's a recipe for a disaster. You're basically announcing that your arm's going to go out of May for about 6 weeks.
And I forgot the biggest one of all. It was after the Super Bowl that Schilling's mysterious shoulder injury materialized.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of bad news for Boston coming out in the weeks of February there.
Yeah, we had a good run.
Yeah, it was a good several-year run, but, you know, you can't be on top forever.
I have to say, part of me likes having the swagger of the New York fans back because the New York fans were really sad. I mean, they were kind of pathetic almost. It was like, they were like the BMOCs who their world fell apart and they lost their cheerleader girlfriend and they were, I don't know. Now I feel like, the rivalry is back on.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to have Hank in the mix, the blustery owner.
And the Mets good again, I think is good.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Although, speaking of injuries.
Although Johan got shelled in his spring training game.
It was great. I was so happy for a minute. Of course it won't last, but I'm like, geez, maybe it was good to keep Hughes. I talked myself right back into that, believe me. I know, I saw that 3 runs in an inning or whatever, yeah.
33 homers last year and climbing.
Yeah.
Listen, we haven't talked about the Clemens hearing, unfortunately, because of the ISDN difficulties. I know the world is on edge waiting for your take.
Yes.
Did you get to see the hearings? And how do you feel about Clemens' veracity in this entire process?
Veracity. Wow,
yeah,
that's a good
thank
word.
You. Thank you.
I don't think Clemens has any veracity.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think.
You don't think he's voracious?
I don't think it's his strong suit, no. He may be voracious, but I don't think he has any veracity. Pretty sure those are two different words. I was at work, so I didn't watch it, and I wasn't really, you know, that into watching it on my computer. I did see highlights such as they were. Yeah. And, you know, if it's true that he really demanded to have that hearing, or his lawyers did, his lawyers should go to jail. They shouldn't just be like a grievance or a malpractice case. They should go to jail if they demanded that hearing for him to be able to, like, just get up there and blatantly lie to Congress. I mean, the fact that Congress wastes its time investigating steroids is an absolute ridiculous outrage.
Yeah.
I suppose I should be happy because they're spending time doing that. They're not raising my taxes or surrendering in foreign wars.
Right.
But, I mean, to waste their time with baseball hearings is just a joke.
I think Clemens was in trouble from the moment he hired a guy named Rusty.
Yeah, that's not – yeah.
I want to know, like, the – Rusty's one of those names that the median income for a guy named Rusty is about $17,000 a year.
Right, right.
And this guy probably raised that median about $3,000.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And the only comedy is all these Congress people who don't have a clue, like mispronouncing names, you know?
Yeah.
You're just hoping for like a Mike McGuire or Sammy Susser moment. And
yeah.
All of them like fawning over Clemens and you were my hero. They wouldn't know Clemens if they bumped into him except that he's famous. And just about, you know, on Monday they're basically asking him for autographed baseballs and then Tuesday they're quote unquote grilling him. I mean, if that was a joke.
Well, I thought it was funny, the Godfather 2 parallels that a lot of people mentioned, but, you know, everyone said it, but then, like, Godfather 2 was on Bravo or one of those channels.
Yeah.
And they were showing the hearing, and it really was similar. Like, even the, like, the way the camera was pointed at Clemens versus the way it was pointed at Michael Corleone.
Yeah, well, it's true.
The guy leaning over and whispering, like, what he should say.
It's true.
It was fantastic.
Clemens, it's too bad Clemens couldn't fly in McNamee's brother from Sicily to sit there in the audience so they could convince McNamee to change his story.
Let me ask you,
just like Frank Pantangeli.
Would you have misremembered the fact that you went to the Jose Canseco pool party in 1998? Because I'm going to, you know, I've forgotten almost everything that I've ever done, but I think I would have remembered that.
Well, in my college days, I probably have misremembered some parties I attended, I have to say.
But you wouldn't remember that.
But I would remember going to Jose Canseco's pool party, I think, yes.
You wouldn't have forgotten the Jose Canseco party where everybody argued whose fake breasts look better, Mrs. Canseco or Mrs. Clements. That's a conversation you'd remember.
I probably would recall that, yes.
Why does it sound like you're on trial?
Well,
recall that, yes.
I'm just thinking if it was me and I was invited to Jose Canseco's pool party. You know, Jose Canseco and I have the same birthday, so maybe it could have been like a birthday pool party for Jose and
yeah.
I. And his twin brother Ozzy has the same birthday too, ironically. You'll figure. I probably would remember that, but, you know, I don't run in those circles, so it would be more memorable to me than maybe somebody like Clemens.
You know, I think in retrospect, Clemens's best tactic would have been that, or to say now, is that he was at the party, but he forgot because Jose Canseco's blinking was so distracting that it actually hypnotized him to forget that he was in the party. Nobody ever brings up the Jose Canseco blinking because you could really take that.
You could.
You could take that about as far as it could go, I think.
You could. But I'm just waiting for his next book. I mean, he's a noted author, the William Faulkner of our generation.
He's a cross between William Faulkner, Woodward, and Bernstein.
Yeah, that's true. Quite an investigative journalist.
I wonder why he was so willing to throw so many people under the bus, and yet he's protecting Clemens. It almost makes me feel like he's maybe getting some monetary incentives.
Well, going back to the Godfather 2 parallel, maybe he's like the senator that was on the Corleone's payroll because he killed the prostitute in the brothel. Maybe Clemens has something on Canseco.
Oh, my God. There's so much blood.
Rusty, Clemens' lawyer, is like, all that remains is our friendship, Jose.
Yeah, I think Canseco should have his own talk show. Every time he gets involved in one of these things, I get excited. I actually enjoy Canseco. Like, I enjoy the interviews that he gives. I enjoy any video of him. I enjoy the blinking.
Well, you know, maybe, you know, he was on that Surreal Life. Maybe he can spin it off into his own VH1 show.
Well,
he can look for love like Bret Michaels and Flavor Flav.
I was thinking on ESPN Classic.
Maybe they can put him on Baseball Tonight.
Baseball Tonight would be good. This guy, Buster Olney, would just be confused all the time. I was thinking ESPN Classic, like we're showing like classic bowling and classic poker.
There's classic bowling?
Yeah, there's classic bowling, apparently.
Really?
But we could spend like $100,000 to give Canseco like a talk show out of his living room or something.
Do you camera. Do you think he'd take that offer?
I think he would. I think he'd take anything that involved dollar signs.
I know, I was kidding. Absolutely.
Hey, I don't know if you're aware of this, but bowling is going to be in Norwich this Sunday. My buddy Rob Stone is announcing.
Really? Do you think he can get me some passes to that?
I think he probably could. You know, he's under attack from these bowling crazies. Apparently he's too exciting and he came up with some term.
I heard his catchphrase, actually. Isn't it
Hambo?
Like, drop down and give me 10 or something like that when somebody gives a strike?
Oh, he calls, if somebody gets 4 straight strikes, he screams Hambone, but the bowling people are upset about it because a Hambone is actually 2 straight strikes.
Really?
And they've been killing him on message boards and stuff, and he's like sticking to the Hambone thing. Big controversy.
This has been an enlightening phone call. One, that there's classic bowling, and two, that there's bowling message boards.
Yeah. Well,
now my afternoon is really shot because now I'm going to be, you know, trying to get on the bowling message boards, put my 2 cents in.
Well, the whole thing made me think of when we were in college.
Chris Monroy.
Chris Monroy challenged me to the bowling match and summarily dispatched me.
It's a video that's made for YouTube.
Yeah, it really is. It's almost, if you put it on the YouTube, the problem is for some reason the camera was screwed up that day.
You're going to have to explain, of course, to the listeners who Chris Monroy is or was and what the bowling thing was.
Well, yeah, I mentioned this in the links today.
Yeah, oh, you did? Okay.
I made fun of him in a school newspaper. I didn't make fun of him. I made fun of bowling in a school newspaper, and he challenged me to a match that we ended up having at a bowling alley near our college, and what we didn't count on was about 300 drunk college students showing up for it.
You can tell there was a lot going on at Holy Cross in those days, huh?
Yeah.
This was before iPods and the internet and.
And coincidentally, it was about 3 or 4 months after Magic Johnson announced that he had HIV, which basically killed everybody's sex life for the fall and spring semesters.
Right.
That was it. Yeah, so that's probably one of the more exciting moments of that year. Not good.
That was what did it, huh?
Well, that's one of the things. You know what else was a bad choice is going to a school with all Irish Catholics. That one might have killed
him as well.
Oh,
it was Magic Johnson. All right, okay. All right.
Yeah.
That was it.
He didn't help matters.
No.
Anything else you want to discuss today, or should I let you go?
I can't think of anything now. Spring training, it's March. It's good. Spring will be here soon.
You don't want to talk about the political? Anything political?
Well, tomorrow's a big day, Either Obama will wrap it all up tomorrow, or it's kind of like Groundhog Day. We'll have 6 more weeks of a presidential campaign,
No predictions?
Either the Groundhog will see. I think Hillary's going to win Ohio.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling she's going to squeak out Texas as well. I think we're going to have 6 more weeks of a presidential campaign.
What did you feel about her? How'd you feel about her SNL appearance?
I didn't think it was too bad, actually.
Yeah, that was good, too.
When she did the thing about, when Amy Poehler's, something about the campaign, and she's like, why? What have you heard? I thought that was pretty good delivery, actually.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was bad. We got murdered, but I didn't think she was bad.
I think she's become, man, I don't want to use the word sexy, but there's definitely.
I would hope not.
Yeah, well.
I certainly don't either.
No, I was going to say that there's a charisma about her that I don't remember her having before this year. I don't think in 1992 she goes on SNL and pulls that off.
I think it's probably like a Clockwork Orange where they sat her down and they injected her with drugs and they tried to insert a charisma somehow, through some sort of shock therapy.
You don't think that's a natural charisma?
No, I don't think so. No.
I do think when you're on the campaign trail, it probably does help your personality because you're in this constantly gregarious frame of mind, kind of like you in college, actually.
Pretty much,
when you're the raconteur.
Exactly.
People's expectations of meeting you.
Right.
You have to rise to them constantly, and eventually that becomes who you are.
That's right. It just engulfs you. That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's exactly how I overcame my shyness and reticence. Yes. False bravado,
I was impressed by her, though. I thought she was good. And I was equally unimpressed with Rudy Giuliani's cameo.
Yeah, that was not good. Not good at all.
The last 2 weeks, though, have shown that you really have to have SNL in an election year.
Oh, yeah. It's good stuff. Yeah,
you have to.
This week's debate skit was basically the replay of last week's debate skit. It was the same thing. But,
right.
I mean, but it's always good to talk about how in the tank for Obama the media is. That's a joke that won't run out. So,
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you're like, yeah.
No, I think this writer's strike, it was so unfortunate that we lost. They should have some addendum that SNL has to be in the mix during election year because it's really the perfect show.
You think the outcomes would have been different? We'd have Mitt Romney and Bill Richardson as the nominees if there was SNL or something?
Well, that's the thing. The Mitt Romney impersonation would have been fantastic.
Right.
Think of all the directions they could have gone with that.
Somebody on the cast could have been working on that all these months, and then there was a writer's strike, and they're like, damn it, there goes my Mitt Romney. I'm never going to use that again.
I actually read an article about that. There was a couple of the cast members were legitimately bummed out that because of the strike, they had been working on these characters. Somebody did Fred Thompson. Somebody had Romney. And there was one other person that somebody did, but they were, these impressions went in the thin air, basically. They should just put them on YouTube or something.
Yeah, they have a retrospective on the campaign. Maybe they can do a special election, the election show we couldn't run,
Mitt Romney would have been great.
Yeah, there's a lot you could work with old Mitt there, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So you feeling good about McCain?
Well, no, not, I mean, not on a personal level, though, but I think he has a chance, yeah. I don't really like him, but I think he has a chance.
But you've talked
to him. He's a hero. The guy's,
I
mean, the guy's undoubtedly an American hero.
Right.
But I disagree with him on a lot of positions, so I think he has a shot.
Yeah,
he has more of a shot against Hillary than against Barack, but I think he's got a shot. He's got the only shot of any Republican, really. Not just because he's the presumptive nominee, but I mean, he's probably the most electable out of the group.
The thing, the biggest difference between sports and politics is that in sports, if your team screws up or if you totally disagree with what they're doing, like if you're a Knicks fan, you can, you know, it's okay to say like Isaiah screwed up, you don't like him, you hate what's happening to your team. Like you're not betraying the fan team relationship by disagreeing with whatever's going on. In politics, because of this Republican Democrat, you have to be on one side or the other and support it to the end. Like, it's funny, like, to hear people who didn't like McCain, like yourself, now talking themselves into him. Because they have to.
Yes.
Like, it can't be like a Knicks thing where you're like, you know what? I don't like this guy. I'm out. I'm not involved this election. I'm done.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You have to start, like, looking at, like, the glass half full things about McCain.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So I have 9 months. What is it? No, it's March. 8 months to talk myself into him. So I can work on that.
And
I might have to go to the same shock therapy team that Hillary went to, but I need a McCain injection instead of a charisma injection. So,
well, fortunately, on the BS Reporter over the next few months, we'll get to hear yourself, talk yourself not into just John McCain, but the New York Yankees pitching staff.
I know. There's a lot I have to talk myself into. That's true.
Who's your setup guy?
LaTroy Hawkins.
Oh, LaTroy.
LaTroy Hawkins and Kyle Farnsworth.
What's he been up to the last few years?
Not much.
LaTroy Hawkins and Kyle Farnsworth, those are your two setup guys?
Well, we got Jabba for the eighth until they make him a starter in the second half, foolishly. But
so Jabba's definitely coming out of the bullpen.
Definitely. For now. I mean, that's what they say. They're going to start him there, and then eventually they may make him a starter. But for now, he's starting in the bullpen.
So who starts on opening day? Chinman?
Probably.
Followed by the Moose?
No, followed by Pettit.
Oh, Pettit. he's not going to be at the mental hospital?
Well, he may be by the second start of the season, but for now he's penciled in.
Oh, I can't wait till he comes to Fenway.
Phil Hughes, Ian Kennedy, and the Moose.
Do you think he cries during his first Fenway start?
I think he's got the Lord on his side, Bill. He's triumphant in the Lord.
So you have Chinming Wong, Pettit, the Moose, Phil Hughes, who now has his own website.
Does he? Excellent.
Yeah, and Ian Kennedy.
I can't wait to read Phil Hughes' thoughts after his four-inning, six-run outburst in April at some point at Fenway, probably the first weekend.
Well, unfortunately for me, he's the linchpin of my AL-only fantasy team.
Good. We can both root for him.
Well,
we both have a
thing.
Vested interest in Phil.
All I have a vested interest is for him to pitch six innings and have a lot of strikeouts. I don't care if he gets any wins. But I've been following him.
It's good. Let's go to his website and maybe we can get like a 2-for-1 on his jersey. We can each wear one. I'll get the home and you can get the away.
Well, I've been following him diligently. Here's an idea. I think they should have jerseys where you can wear the jersey. You can create a jersey for your fantasy team.
Don't tell your wife this. She already thinks you go way too far with this. This will put her right over the edge.
I'm not saying I would wear the jersey. I'm just saying I think people would. Like you look at like, fantasy league trophies are this booming business now.
Your wife is getting in a car right now and driving for the border of Mexico, leaving you with two children. You're never going to see her again if you keep along this route.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm glad you brought that up because on March 29th, we have my 10-hour AL-only auction draft.
Oh, my God.
I haven't broken the news yet. So, I mean, I really might get separated March 20th. Maybe trial separation on March 30th.
Yikes.
But, yeah, 10 hours.
Oof.
See, you don't do the fantasy thing. You're a smart man.
Yeah, no, I would, but, yeah, no, 10 hours is a commitment. My attention span would wane in 10 hours. In 10 minutes, for that matter, but 10 hours, I'd really be lost.
Why don't you start a draft with the corporate litigation guys?
I'll get on that.
Get them going.
I certainly will.
You could draw like a charter? All right, I'll let you go.
I'm going to go to the bowling websites now and the message boards, and then I'll get on that fantasy thing. I'm busy now this afternoon.
Go to the bowling websites, go to the fantasy thing, and then go to philhughes.com or whatever that site is.
Very
it's a big,
good.
Big afternoon for you.
Nice. It'll cover the 2 hours I have remaining in my day. Excellent. And well into the evening. All right.
Oh, wait. One last thing.
Mm.
What are you weighing in this week?
The nervousness scale?
Yeah. This is the end of the segment. Johnny, are you worried yet? How worried are you about the Yankees?
I actually feel good because one thing we haven't talked about, and we can touch on this more next week or whatever, but is the Red Sox killer early schedule between Japan and the teams they play.
I don't want to talk about that. Let's talk about that next week.
That factored in with the fact that Josh Beckett weighs a good 275. I'm like a 1 on a scale of 1 to 10.
Wow.
Yeah, I feel good.
Yeah, I'm
spring
very
is always everybody's hopeful. Pittsburgh Pirate fans are hopeful. Me too. So
I'm very upset about this Japan trip. And I have no doubt that the greedy Red Sox owners did this just to line their pockets with more cash because they haven't made enough cash from this team.
I'm going to get online and I'm going to figure out how many miles they travel in the first month of the season. I'm going to talk about that next week.
There are a few certainties in sports, but one of the certainties everybody can agree on, is that teams that go to Japan, when they come back, they're screwed up for like 3 weeks.
Let's hope.
There's never been a documented scenario where that hasn't happened. Everybody says, oh, my God, we're so messed up. But and on top of that, they have this monster schedule of all these bad teams. I mean, all these good
teams.
I have to say I'm a little worried about Toronto.
Yeah, they're a little scrappy. Are you worried about the Devil Rays at all?
I'm worried about them kind of like in a frisky September spoiler kind of way.
Yeah. And you have the Tigers and the Indians are good and the Angels and the Mariners now. It's a loaded American League.
Well, fortunately for us, we have the Orioles.
Thank God.
But for the AL East, though, I think Toronto is a really tough game every time now. And Tampa's not a walkover. The only thing is, like, they still have Al Reyes as their closer. And actually, Al Reyes, Troy Percival, competing for the closer of the two years. Troy Percival? Are you kidding me?
It's a rough competition.
But I did, for the first time, though, they have three decent starters, that assuming Kazmir isn't hurt. But
right.
Kazmir, Garza, and Shields. So I don't remember the last time Tampa's had three good starters.
They haven't had three starters total that were good in their history, let alone at once.
I also like that that they traded Delvin Young and Elijah Dukes. I don't care who you're getting back. Your team chemistry is improved. You could be getting back a serial killer. And your team chemistry has still gotten better.
Definitely. Yeah, that was good. Yeah, addition by subtraction, as they say, yes.
Carl Crawford had some funny quotes about that.
Really? I'll have to check those out,
Yeah,
too.
Check that. Add that to your list. Research Carl Crawford.
Maybe he'll be on the bowling message boards so I can kill two birds with one stone.
All right, we'll talk to you next week,
John. All right, Willie. Take it easy.
All right, bye-bye.
Target the sound off. Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.